Chapter 7. Ahab's Plan. One morning, Ahab came up on deck shortly after breakfast. This was not unusual, but all that day he kept walking around and around the deck, the noise of his whalebone leg making a regular sound as he walked, then turned at the same places. Sometimes he disappeared into his cabin, but then he would start walking again, deep in thought. Then, suddenly, at the end of the day, he shouted,
"Mr. Starbuck, send everybody to me."
"Yes, sir," said the mate,
looking amazed because this was an extraordinary order. When the whole crew was in front of Ahab, looking at the captain and wondering why he had called them together, he started to speak.
"What do you do when you see a whale, men?"
he said.
"Sing out," cried the crew.
"Good,"
cried Ahab, looking pleased with their answer to this unexpected question.
"And what do you do next, men?"
he cried a little wildly.
"Lower the boats into the water. Row after it," they shouted.
Ahab looked more and more wildly happy as he heard the men's shouts, while the men started to look at each other, wondering why they were so excited. But they became more and more excited as Ahab continued.
"Look, all of you, look at this gold coin," he cried,
holding up a large gold coin so it shone in the sunlight. He shouted to the first mate,
"Mr. Starbuck, give me a hammer."
Then, taking the hammer from Starbuck, he went to a mast, still holding the gold coin high in the air.
"The first man who sings out when he sees the white whale shall have this coin,"
he cried, and he hammered the coin to the mast.
"It is a white whale with a wrinkled forehead and a bent jaw," he added.
Tashtego, Dagoo, and Queequeg looked at each other as if each of them had remembered something.
"Captain Ahab," said Tashtego, "that white whale must be the one some people call Moby Dick."
"Moby Dick!" shouted Ahab. "Do you know the white whale then, Tashtego?"
Tashtego went on.
"Does he make a strange movement with his tail when he dives? And do he have one, two, three, many harpoon in him body?"
asked Queequeg, in his strange English.
"And does his spout go very high?" asked Dagoo.
"Yes, yes, yes," cried the captain. "You have all seen Moby Dick."
Then the men all started to talk excitedly. Though they had not seen Moby Dick, they had all heard stories about the huge white sperm whale. They told each other of terrible injuries and stove boats. They also talked superstitiously about how he could not be killed, and how he had the power to be in two places at the same time. Then I heard Starbuck's voice.
"Captain Ahab, I have heard of Moby Dick," he said. "Wasn't it Moby Dick who took off your leg?"
"Yes, it was Moby Dick that took off my leg," cried Ahab. "It was the white whale that left me like this. He attacked our boats. He stove them and tore off my leg with his huge jaws. I lay for weeks and months in my hammock in pain."
Ahab cried out with a sound like a wounded animal. Then, shaking his hands in the air wildly, he shouted,
"I will chase him all over the seas in this world, and into hell itself. It is to catch Moby Dick that you have signed on to sail in this ship, men. To catch him and kill him. What do you say, men? Will you do it?"
"Yes, yes,"
shouted the crew, pushing closer to the old man.
"God bless you, men," cried Captain Ahab. "God bless you. You shall each have some grog."
Then he spoke to one of the sailors near him, saying excitedly,
"Fetch the grog!"
The old man turned to Starbuck, who was standing silently with a grim face.
"But Mr. Starbuck, do you not want to catch the white whale?"
"I am ready to kill Moby Dick. I am ready even for my death, if it comes while I'm doing my job," replied Starbuck. "But I came to hunt whales, not to get revenge on a whale for the captain. It is not right to want revenge on an animal who just behaved in its normal way."
"The white whale is evil, the most evil thing in the world,"
cried Ahab even more wildly.
"To me, it is right to search for him and kill him."
Then more quietly, he said to Starbuck,
"I did not mean to make you angry, Mr. Starbuck. Listen to me. We are only going to hunt a whale as we always do. You cannot go against me and the men."
"You're right. I cannot," said Starbuck quietly. "But God help me. God help us all."
However, the captain did not hear the end of what Starbuck said because he had turned away. He took the pot of grog brought by the seaman.
"Drink and pass it on," he cried,
giving it to the nearest man to him.
"Drink and swear death to Moby Dick."
"Death to Moby Dick,"
swore each of the excited men. But Starbuck's face went white and his body shook. This, then, was why I had been worried. Why Elijah's words had made me fearful. "Captain Ahab will never be all right," he had said. And now I knew what he meant. Ahab had been mad with pain as he recovered from his injury. Now the pain in his body had gone, but he was still mad, and there was no one to stop his crazy plan for revenge on Moby Dick. This gray-haired, mad old man had a thoughtless crew who would do whatever he wanted to do. And he had three mates who could not or would not stop him. Starbuck was a good man, but he was not brave enough to go against the captain. Stubb was careless and fearless, and Flask was a man who destroyed whales without a thought. So neither man could see anything wrong in what Ahab wanted to do. What could I do? I joined the men in their excitement at that time. Like them, I wanted to kill Moby Dick. But I expected terrible danger when we finally met him.